Well, I sure hope we all want to be full and not a dud. You know, I got to thinking over the last week, and brothers and sisters, I want you to know that my heart weeps when I consider that so many people, just like us, have allowed their Bibles to collect dust. Elisa Turkhurst wrote this, but it is a trustworthy and a very true saying. If my Bible is collecting dust and my conscience is being hushed, then my heart is in danger of being crushed. And I want you to know that our enemy's deception is hand-designed to draw our attention and worship away from God. You see, you have an enemy of your soul. The Bible talks about this enemy. Peter put it this way, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, the enemy of our soul wants us to be more enamored with created things than with the Creator ourself, Himself. It is the reason we come up with excuses not to worship, not to be in church, to slack off. So many people, even, I'm going to put it in quotes, Christian people, because I wonder about their salvation. Do they really have it? For so many Christian people, so many people, sadly, have allowed the enemy to draw them away from the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what's happening in the lives of many individuals, many families, our nation, and around the world today. Did you ever think you would be living in a time and in a world where there is such utter hopelessness, such division, where suicide is at an all-time high, where people are looking for answers that they cannot find, and the reason they can't find them is they are looking everywhere but where they ought to be looking? They are looking at everything else, but they're not looking to the one who holds the truth. You see, our enemy knows if he can get you away from the light of God's holy word, he's got you. And he's got you in the darkness. This past week was a good example of that kind of darkness that will eventually come to all who are living in the dark right now. You see, this hurricane did tremendous damage, and others have had it far worse than we have. We were inconvenienced, but others are trying to put a life back together. And as I sat in the dark, now you need to understand something. You do not live in the parsonage of this church, but in the parsonage of this church, there are lights all around. We've got light from the Family Life Center that just lights up the parking lot there. Or we've got lights on the house that just lights the front of the house because it's the way Rocky designed it, I guess. We got lights over here in the parking lot. I mean, it is light. Your poor pastor had to buy room darkening blinds just so I could get some sleep at night. But you often need to understand it is light, even though it's dark. But something happened last week, and it got me to thinking. And the Bible teaches that hell is going to be utter blackness. As I sat there in the parsonage in the dark, I thought, this outage is a perfect picture of this. No lights around the church. No lights around the parsonage. No lights around the Family Life Center. No lights in the parsonage. It is utter blackness. I was sitting in my chair. My wife was sitting in her chair, and we could not see one another because of the blackness. And I thought to myself, I am so thankful that I am saved and I am going home to heaven, because I can't imagine how lonely hell will be. And my eyes began to tear. Began to weep. I thought about hell, you see, no light ever. And no hope of the power coming back on. No light ever. No presence of God ever. No human contact ever. Just blackness. Forever. And ever. And ever. No hope. Through my tears, I just said, oh God, how I wish people would wake up and get saved. I can't imagine. Now you need to understand something else. I've suffered a loss in my life. Recently, my aunt of 94 years never came to Christ. She's in that place right now. And she will be there for eternity. That's the reality. I want you to know, if you choose to allow the enemy to keep you in the dark, you will never get around to asking or considering the most important question and answering it. And a day will come soon enough when you wish you would have, but friend, it'll be too late. Be finding in your Bibles this morning, John, that's the fourth book in the New Testament, Chapter 3, verse 16. And if you will, please rise in respect and fear of Almighty God as we read His Word together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Father God, as we come to this message today, Lord, break our hearts for lost people. We hear so often, we need to pray for the lost. No, we don't need to pray for the lost. We need to go get the lost. The lost are doing what lost people do. They're lost. They don't know how to find God. But we who have the light need to go find them and bring them to the light. Oh, God, help us Christians. And I'm using the name loosely this morning. So many of us say that we know Jesus as our Savior. We just don't have no time for the Savior. Too many of us have allowed our Bibles to collect dust, and then we wonder why our heart is crushed. Oh God, would you awaken us? I remember that Paul prayed, it is high time to awaken out of sleep. It is time, because Jesus is coming soon. It is time to awaken. It is time to get up, and it is time to clean up. It is time to get our hearts right with Jesus. But oh God, I'm just a man. You are God and I am not. And only you can take your word and take it down to where it'll do us the most good, all the way down to our heart. And Lord, if we have an encounter with you today, it'll be because you broke our hearts. Break us. Break up the fallow ground in us. Awaken us out of our lethargy. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people. Amen. You may be seated. The most important question, where am I? The Bible teaches that we all should know it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You and I have a date with death. Neither you nor I know when that day will be, whether it'll be before we leave this service, after this service, tomorrow, the day after, next week, next month. We don't know. But a day is coming, and it is coming soon, and it's coming sooner than you think. And yet, knowing that gut truth, if you will, many people never stop to consider the implications of death. How should I be preparing? Of eternity, of heaven, or of hell? Now, I'm old. That's why I'm retiring. For those of you who are visiting today and wondering why they're having a pastor selection committee, it's because Pastor Don Dunn got old and it's time for him to retire. Say amen. So I got a lot I can draw from. And I got to thinking about something I read a long time ago. So I'm going way back to 1995, and Brother Brandon wasn't even born yet. We're in the Wayback Machine. Say amen. But on December 20th, 1995, an American Airlines Boeing 757 took a regularly scheduled flight from Miami, Florida to Cali, Colombia, carrying passengers mainly returning for the Christmas holidays. Captain Nicholas Tafuri, age 57, First Officer Don Williams, age 30, were highly experienced and skilled pilots. But through a tragic navigational mix-up, they erroneously put the aircraft on a collision course with a 3,000-meter El Diluvio Mountain 38 miles north of Cali instead of the Cali runway. 3 minutes before fatal impact, First Officer Don Williams was recorded as asking, "Where are we? Where are we?" Moments later, 151 out of 155 passengers were dead. Their appointment with death had come, along with 8 crew members. A reporter the following day, that's why I picked this story, poignantly assessed the tragedy in these words: the most important question came too late. This is a life question. Where am I? It's the most important life question you will ever be confronted with. Where am I? Hi. Let me ask you, before it's too late, where are you? Where are you? The Bible puts us all on one of two roads. Either on the broad way to hell, and that's where a lot of Christians are living today. Or you're on the narrow road to heaven. On our Lord, in His Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Friend, have you stopped to consider? Have you stopped long enough to truly consider which road you are on? In light of the fact that we are living in an age of cheap grace, have you truly received God's grace that leads to eternal life? You see, one of the things about our enemy is he always tries to imitate what God does. He wants your worship, but we are to worship Jesus Christ with all that we are, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That's all of us. Hold nothing back. But the enemy, he's so subtle. He's so subtle. He tries to mimic to keep you in the dark. Do you really have God's grace? Or is all you're holding on to the devil's imitation of cheap grace? You say, what is it? What's the difference? Cheap grace says, I can have my God and I can have my sin too. No need to repent. No need to put it away. I can live in sin, go to church, say, I know Jesus, and it's going to be all right. No, it's not. And you're a fool if you believe it. Cheap grace says, I do not need to let go of or forsake or repent. I can have both. This is false. False, false. It's the broad way that Jesus spoke about that leads to destruction. Cheap grace says, I do not need to abide by God's truth because, you see, grace covers everything. You got to be out of your mind if you believe that. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we then, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Cheap grace is not true grace that genuinely forgives a sinner of their sin. You see, too many people believe that I prayed that prayer. I went forward in a church service. I prayed that prayer. Whoop-dee-doo. I got baptized. Big whoop. I got my name on the church roll. You know the church roll is full of names. And most of them don't even go to church no more. Christian, you got to be out of your mind. They've walked away from the truth. They've left God. They're following the subtlety of the devil. Oh, Sunday's my only day off. You see, I got to sleep in. I just worked so hard all week. You mean to tell me Jesus died so you could sleep in? Jesus died to make you His day? By the way, this is the Lord's day. You might say, well, that's a strange thing to say. Well, I got to say it because most people don't even know it. They don't know it's God's day. They think it's their day. That's cheap grace. And the Bible says, Jesus said it. You can get mad at me, I don't care. But Jesus said this. He said, many are going to come to me in that day, and they are going to cry out, Lord, Lord. And Brother Brandon, do you know what he's going to say to them? Away from me, I never knew you. Don't tell him. You'll never be able to tell Jesus you weren't warned because I just warned you. Some people like to use the excuse, well, you see, he made me. Yeah, he made you, but he also changes you. You aren't going to get away with that excuse, well, he made me, he knows what I'm like. No. He knows what you're like, all right. You're the seed of the devil, that's what you are, but you're not his. Listen, when you can put yourself before him to do your thing, you're not doing his will, you're doing your will. You just feel good because the enemy's got you in the dark. You think you're in the light, but you're not in the light. You are in the dark, and you're so blind, you don't even know it. And remember, I quoted this when I was preaching about the election, but it applies in everything. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Don't give me your truth. I'm not interested. Because I'll tell you what Bible truth is, and I'm not even going to give you my truth. My truth can't save anybody. God's truth can save everybody. And you better abide by God's truth or you're not going to be saved. It's just that simple. You see, cheap grace, it allows sin. True grace does not. Because grace abounds, shall we sin no more? God forbid! Now, friend, either you believe God or you believe some idiot. And that idiot just might be you. Now, this is vital for many people who fill church houses just like ours to consider, because ultimately where you go when you die is determined by what road you are on. And there are many who sit in church like ours week after week after week who have deceived themselves. They think they're saved and they're not. And do you know that God has a word in His word? A verse in His word. This is what His verse, His word is to us. Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. There are a lot of people that can talk the talk. They can't walk the walk because they're deceived. They make bad choices. And listen, if you're making bad choices, unhealthy choices for your own spiritual life, you can't help somebody else make a healthy choice for theirs because you can't give them what you don't have. You see, they think they're saved, but they just don't do what God says. And God says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. So what happened? They were deceived. Friends, the Bible clearly teaches that we're all born sinners. We all live astray from God. We were born in sin. And whether we are religious or secular, rich or poor, black, yellow, white, green, it don't matter what color we are or what ethnicity we are. It does not make a difference. We are all on the broad way when we enter into this world on the way to hell. Are you willing to acknowledge that's God's truth? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you think about this? Have you clearly located the road you are on? If you've never been saved, the answer to the question, where am I? I'm on the road to hell. I'm in the Broadway. I'm headed for destruction. You know, that's what people brag about, isn't it?
Hell going to be a party down there. It's going to be wonderful down there. I'll just drink it up. I'll laugh it up. I'll whatever. No, you won't. You're out of your mind. Most people never face up to this. But Jesus taught it right here in our text this morning. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were what, church? You see, many of you, I'm going to be bold this morning after all I'm retiring. But I've always been bold. And I'm going to be bold. Many of you just don't want to be disturbed. You're comfortable right where you're at. Oh, I've got my little faith. I'm good. I'm so comfortable. Well, are you winning the loss? Well, you see, I just wouldn't know what to say to them. But I pray for them. Give me a break. Are you serving in the church? Well, no, you see, I think somebody else should do that. Give me a break. You know, I prayed last night. I pray all the time, but I prayed last night specifically for this message. I said, Lord God, if you will use me to do one thing tomorrow, the one thing I pray for is that you will speak through me to make your people uncomfortable. You see, I want to be very honest with you. I am concerned for some of you. And the reason I'm concerned for you is because you have no real desire to live so as to please the Lord, but you sure love living to please yourself. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. And that's why you need to wake up, because you are in danger. If I could, I would come to where you're sitting in your pew with a great big two flares, and I would put them by you, and they would be crying out to you, danger, 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 because I've spoken to you for 6 years, and many of you are tone deaf. You need to consider which road you're on, because an appointed time for you is coming. And you don't know when that time will be. And some of you need to get off that broad road to destruction, because heaven is not going to be yours by your so-called religion. How many of you realize that Jesus hates religion? And some of you have come to believe, to be saved, all I need to do is pray that little prayer, be baptized, get my name on the church roll, and that's it. I'm good. Now I can go out and live any old way I want. I'm good. I can do what I want to do. And when the preacher comes around to because he cares for me and he talks to me, I know what I believe. I'm good. I'm good. Do you really know what you believe? Or do you just think you know what you believe? Do you know what God's Word says? Because if you don't know what God's Word says, you ain't got a clue what you believe. You got your truth, but you don't have the truth that'll set you free. Jesus hates religion. And that's the great devil's great lie to this evil and perverse generation. Friend, you're not going to get to heaven living a good life. My aunt lived a good life. You will not have found a more honest, more moral, more caring individual than my Aunt Lucy. She was at the top of the list when it comes to that category. But today she is in hell because she would not repent of her sin and receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That's the truth. good life? Give me a break.
You're not going to get to heaven by prayer and confession, because the Bible says that we don't get to heaven on good works. Are prayer and confession a good thing? Yeah, if you mean it. Isn't it interesting that people keep confessing the same thing over and over and over again? Evidently, you don't believe God forgave you the first time. So you confess, you pray, and then you go out and do the same thing all over again, and then you come back. Do you realize that's the definition of insanity? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. Listen, when God forgives you, as far as from the east is from the west, so far He removes your sins from you, He don't even remember them no more. But you keep coming to confess the same thing over and over again because you don't believe them. You're just not certain. You see, in order to be saved, you need to enter through the narrow door. That's to say, there must be a moment in your life when you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What does that mean? It means you turn away from you and you turn to Him. You keep your eyes on Him. You don't look to the right. You don't look to the left. You say, Lord, and you just follow. That's what salvation is. You say, Lord, I want to go over here. And He says, no, and you're back over here. You know what the psalm says? Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you know who surely goodness is and surely mercy is? They're the Lord's watchdog. So when you get trying to go to the left or the right, they nip at your heels. They get you little sheep right back where you belong so that you're following Jesus, not your own stinking will. Entering the narrow way is the Bible's way of describing the moment of personal salvation. Now, Jesus taught that everybody has a choice. Either to keep flowing down the path that's popular and easy. That's destruction's path. Comfortable in my sin. Comfortable in my religion, or face the fact of their need to turn to God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And today you have that choice. Carry on undisturbed to hell if you want. Some of you are. And that's God's honest truth. Or make it your urgent business to enter the door of life today. Jesus taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus bore God's punishment for sin when He suffered and died on Calvary's cross. Some of you see it every week, but it makes no impact in your life. You think, oh, that's just a churchy thing. Praise the Lord, I'm getting amens from this little girl. I'm her favorite preacher. I love her right to death. Jesus died on that cross, and 3 days later He rose from the grave to prove that He has the power over life and death. He has the power over you and me. Friend, you are not your God. You better get over yourself. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. Don't listen to this world outside who, oh, there's many roads to heaven. No, there's not. There is one road. His name is Jesus. And by the way, the Bible teaches, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Listen, every time you pick up this, you're hanging on to Jesus. He is the Word. It ain't some preacher preaching somebody else's Word. He's giving you the Word of God. And if you're willing, without reserve, to agree with what God says, to admit that you're on the broad way to hell, to own up to your guilt, admit you deserve God's judgment, to acknowledge your utter helplessness, then and only then is there hope for your soul.
the Bible clearly teaches there is a heaven. There is a hell. Now, I'm not so out of touch that I don't know this outside world no longer believes in a literal heaven and a literal hell. But I do, because God's word says so. And I believe God before I believe a man. And I'm not ashamed to declare it. I'm not afraid to tell you how it is. Because I love you. I'd hate to think that anybody who ever listened to me preach would one day wind up in hell. Well, I need to bring this message to a close. But you can blame Block. He went overtime. I just want to share with you a little more about hell. Hell is the prison house of despair. And here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love or peace, nor one way of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon or grace. No water, oh God, what a terrible place. Pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease will there be in hell. Hell is the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there for sure, because God's word teaches us that. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain. Weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swearers, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on this earth trod. Cowards, murderers, gamblers, drunkard and liar, will all have their place in that lake of fire. The coward, the filthy, the vile, the cruel, the mean, along with all those who believe they were too good to repent, they were good enough for God to accept just as they were. They'll all share the woes of eternal hell. And the most important question, where am I? My hope and prayer is that you will slowly, thoughtfully, and carefully write these scriptures down, look them up, pray over them, and be certain you're where you need to be. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God bideth on him.
Do you need to? Or have you acknowledged at any point in your life? You're on the broad road to hell. Hell is what you deserve for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Will you repent and believe the gospel? Will you enter the straight gate and the narrow way to be certain you're on the road to heaven? Will you come to Christ today? Don't leave it to another day. You might not make it to another day. Don't let the most important question for you, where am I, come too late. Can you just imagine? It's all dark. You've left this world. You thought you were going to the light of heaven. But you're in the place of utter darkness. You see, when you die, it's just that quick. Your eternity is sealed. It's over. And if you wake up in the utter blackness of hell, your first thought is going to be, where am I? And some of you Christians, and again, I'm using that term loosely this morning, if you're mad, I don't care. You're going to cry out, I never thought I'd be here. Where am I? And then for all eternity, if only I would have listened. If only I would have paid attention. If only, if only, if only, and it is too late. If only I hadn't kept my child out of church because I was too selfish to go. My little girl could be here. You'll never know it because you can't see a thing. My son could be here. You'll never know it. What am I doing here? If only. Father, God help us. I pray. Any broken hearts this morning? And if we don't need to come to Christ, we all certainly know someone who does need to come to Christ. And Lord, may we storm this altar and get on our knees and call upon God, the only one who has the power to save. And pray for the salvation of this world. Oh God, help us! In Jesus' name.